What is going on, Badger fans? It is hate week. It is axe week. It is go and rip the hearts out of the Gophers week. Fun show today. We got Kane Robb, Locked On Gophers, stopping by. We're going to talk about why he's optimistic the Gophers are going to be able to come in Madison and keep the axe. And I'm going to talk about why I'm optimistic that he doesn't know what he's talking about. We're going to talk about all that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A Locked On crossover. The battle for the axe is this week. You've got Kane Robb with Locked On Golden Gophers. You've got Ryan Herrings with Locked On Badgers. One of the best rivalries out there in the game. You know, I don't like anything that has to do with the Badgers, but if you've listened to the show before, I can get along with Ryan Herrings because we have good conversations out here and we keep it real. You know, we're not going to lie to you about where our teams are or how they're doing. And I think it's time. The season is wrapping up. Ryan, let's get a little state of the union going. What are the expectations with the Badgers and the Gophers? Let's get going. What are you thinking here?
I love it, man. And you're totally right. Like, I basically hate everything Minnesota, but you and I have actually had some pretty good conversations, which is awesome. And I remember, like, we this isn't our first crossover, right? We had a crossover earlier where we both kind of thought maybe we'll win the West. Like, those were fun times.
Yep. Faint memory.
And now here we are. So I do want to take a very quick second. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And let's get into it. Kane Robb said, you know, we're going to just do a really quick State of the Union to bring everybody up to speed with where our programs are. So I'll start with the Badgers, kind of a state of the union. And this season, obviously, started off Paul Chryst. There's been a ton of flux. Paul Chryst was fired after an Illinois game where they, quite frankly, they looked like a MAC team. I mean, Brett Bielema came into Camp Randall, and he looked like an old Wisconsin team beating a MAC team. It was a terrible look. Paul Chryst was instantly fired, essentially, and Jim Leonard's been under the interim tag ever since. And that tag, that job's been posted. It's going to be Leonard's job probably after the Minnesota game, which makes this game even more interesting, right? Because it's going to be kind of weird if Minnesota wins and then they're like, Jim Leonard's the coach. Let's celebrate, right? So it's going to be very interesting, but Jim Leonard's a guy. And quite frankly, he's done what I think he could do to turn around the ship. He's 4-2, both those losses on the road. The energy looks better. The team just in general looks better. The defense has gotten on track. So for the most part, State of the Union for the Badgers is this season has not gone according to plan, but a lot of people feel like necessary changes have to be made. And if Jim Leonard is that guy, maybe those changes have been made. So there's cautious optimism, I would say, for the Badgers fans for the State of the Union. How about Minnesota? Because this has been an interesting year for you guys as well.
It has been a year. That is something to describe it as. You know, the West hopes were definitely up there for Gophers fans, especially having not won it before. And there were heavy expectations on it. It's great to see that Coach Fleck has raised the expectations for the Minnesota program. But in that, I feel like a lot more people are ready to hit the panic button at moments when things don't go according to plan. Now, people forget about the injuries. We had injuries to Chris Amon-Bell, our number one wide receiver, and have been missing him vastly in this season. Our passing game has basically just evaporated after starting out 4-0 against Michigan State and some other non-cons that people said you didn't play anybody. Well, as we've learned, the Gophers haven't done very well against the teams that they did play that were good this season. There's been a lot of self-inflicted wounds this season for the Gophers, and I think that a lot of the panic for Gophers fans in this season lies with the passing game. People thought it would fix right away as soon as redshirt freshman Ethan Kaliak-Manis took the helm after Tanner Morgan was injured. And there were flashes. There were encouraging moments. But then it moved back to just not giving anybody passing opportunities. You're talking 15 attempts a game, 18 attempts a game. It's hard for any quarterback to do well with very little attempts. Now, the ground game, as anybody, fans of the team or anybody outside, you know, Mo Ibrahim has absolutely bounced back. It's been extremely impressive with a torn Achilles coming back, having over 100 yards in every single game thus far, and hopefully finishing the season against the Badgers, breaking the all-time record in rushing yards as well. It's on the table. I believe he needs like 140 some yards to break the all-time record in school yards as well. So The ground game has been impressive. The O-line has been impressive. The staples of Minnesota have been what we expect. But with Kirk Ciarrocca back in town, people expected fireworks in the passing game, and it was quite the opposite. Again, we're just barely above the service academies when it comes to passing attempts. So I think that's a big thing heading into the offseason is people want to know, are we going after receivers in the transfer portal? Are we making any changes? Is Kirk Ciarrocca still going to head this offensive unit as far as the system goes? Or are we going to look, people have thrown out the idea of modernizing the offense, not in-house, but fans wanting to see something like that. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Gophers not only go about fixing that passing game, but then how do you replace the production of Mo Ibrahim?
Let me ask you this, because again, Wisconsin had kind of the coaching turmoil early in the year, but it's mostly worked itself out. Like Jim Leonard is the guy. We ever seen rumblings, like I've seen it, Gopher fans getting frustrated with PJ Fleck, starting to ask the questions, right? And this is how it always starts. Do we need to look for a replacement? Is Fleck the guy? Where are you at on that, and how realistic is that talk?
You know, honestly, me personally, I think it's wild. We shouldn't even be discussing getting rid of Coach Fleck just because of what this program has been and what it is slowly becoming. Now, you can't expect a program. Yes, we had the 11-win season in 2019, but we're not going to just automatically be in Ohio State or Michigan or the years of dominance we saw from Wisconsin. You're not just going to be that right away. It still takes time. I talked about it on the show last week of like Kirk Ferentz. He's had a number of losing seasons. He's probably had 5 or 6 losing seasons in his 24-year span. And then inside of that, he's had a lot of 6-win seasons, 7-win seasons, 8-win seasons, nothing that blows you out of the water. But it takes time to rebuild, get back established, get the right guys in there, the right fits, get the talent and the development going. And we've seen that in flashes here with PJ Fleck in the 6 years. Now, yes, this year people expected a West championship with so much returners coming back, and it didn't happen. So I understand the frustration, and I think that you can be disappointed and you can call for change, but I don't think a change at the head coach is the right idea. Maybe it's a change in how the offense is called. Maybe it's a change in the offensive coordinator or something more minute. But I think you've seen this defense be one of the best in the nation for multiple years now, and you've seen the flashes. We're still in the games with Iowa, with Illinois, with teams that looked good this season. Now spurts where they looked bad. So again, you expect to win them, but how do you take the next step? And I don't think you completely scrap everything by getting rid of the head coach.
Yeah. And I've told you this before, by the way, I'm going to lose subscribers over this, which we should talk about our subscriber battle too. I've told you before that I don't even know how to say this without losing subscribers. I'm just going to say it. I don't hate PJ Fleck as much as most Badger fans do. That's maybe the most political way I can say it. And the reason is, like, everyone that I talk to that really dislikes Fleck, of which there are many, by the way, you know, they think, you know, used oil salesman, you know, he's too gimmicky, he's full of fake energy, whatever it is, whatever, you know, they want to throw in there. I've always told people, you know, and you and I talked about this already, he's appealing to 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. Like, kids like a different energy than 30, 40, 50-year-old people. And it works for him. It really does. He's also a guy who's beaten Wisconsin twice, you know, making this actually a real rivalry again, whereas he'd gotten pretty stale. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love winning every year, but he's brought juice to it. And I agree with you. Like, I would be surprised if Minnesota would want to move off of that.
Yeah, I think there's two things to be said with that. One, the first thing I've heard, and I agree 100%, is you either absolutely like PJ Fleck and you like can get with the style, or you absolutely hate him. There's like no middle ground, really. I mean, there's people in the Big Ten, you either think he's snaky, Carl Salesman, whatever you want to say, or you're like, I get it. I get how he's having success and why people would buy it. But the second thing is, same type of idea. Recruits probably have that same thing. Either, yes, I really want to play for this type of guy. I buy in. I like the energy. I like what they're doing. Or that's not my style. And then you know right away, and you're not playing games with it. You know that someone is invested and really all in on the culture that's being established.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to take a quick break and talk about some of the reasons why we're optimistic or pessimistic for this game. But let me ask you this, as somebody who covers the team, I've seen you at the press conferences. do you buy into the energy? Like, do you feel like that's real energy?
You know, there's times where I really do, and there's times where I'm like, okay, you're saying it for the media, you're saying it to clear the air. But there are some bits and pieces, there are some real, when it comes to and pertains to the message with internally with the team, I buy it. I buy what he is telling his guys he truly believes in. But when it comes to, like, we got to change our best or finding balance in the passing games, he knows that the media is going to ask him questions when we're running the ball 45 times in a game, 50 times in a game, and we're passing it 20. We're going to say, what's going on with the passing game? Where's the balance that you talked about in the season? And then it comes out to, like, oh, well, we didn't need it in this game. Well, you did, because we ended up losing and there was a passing down that we needed to complete and we didn't. So it's like all that adds up. And so I think he still has to buy some more of what he is saying publicly, as far as changing our best or finding balance. Like, you got to do it. You got to actually change your best. If that means modernizing, if that means whatever, things that you didn't fully believe in. I think that's one thing we're seeing with Brett Bielema in Illinois, is he was more a traditional guy. And he brought in an offensive coordinator that can add some more modern flares to it and capitalize on what is working in college football.
Yeah, that's really well said. Coming up, we are going to talk about why we're optimistic, why we're pessimistic with this game. We'll kick it back and forth, see where we're really at. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. It's something we use a lot on the Locked On Network, and they have you covered with every type of sport. You're talking golf, basketball, baseball, NASCAR, esports, UFC, it's all there. Plus live in-game betting, futures betting. Yeah, I've talked to you guys a bunch about where my allegiances lie. You know, I have money on the Suns winning a championship. That's my NBA future. And I'm a Niners guy at heart, so I got some money on the Niners futures as well. And it's a great way just to have fun with that as a sports fan. Do it responsibly, but put some money on where you think it's going. Be smarter than the rest of the field. And it's something that we use a lot. It's something that's a lot of fun. Plus live casino games, blackjack, roulette. It's all there at BetOnline. Fastest and easiest way to get all your betting needs met. Grab your mobile device, head to the website today to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. And we both want to thank everybody for listening to this Locked On crossover, Badgers and Gophers. When you're done here, go check out Locked On Sports Today. From all the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts and an insight like only the Locked On Network can provide. Wherever you find podcasts, on YouTube, the Odyssey app, Locked On Sports Today. And let's keep going. This is a lot of fun. I love talking to Kane because he does keep it real. And even though our teams are rivals, I think we gain a lot of insight by stuff like this. So I want to start here. Offensively, Kane, why are you optimistic in this game?
I mean, Mo Ibrahim makes me optimistic for every game. I just truly don't think there's a defense that can absolutely shut him down at the collegiate level. And so the way he runs, the way they find ways to get it done, even when they're not passing, it always gives me some sort of confidence that we'll be in the game, especially if it is a Big Ten football game that thrives on the ground and pound. So definitely the number one reason why I'm excited and think that we can at least walk away with the victory here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the captain obvious answer there, right? You have to, like, I mean, it's the guy. Like, there's no other real answer there. Offensively, for me, for the Badgers, I got to be honest, not a lot. Like, I was really thinking about this a lot. The offense has been so inconsistent this year. And maybe for Gopher fans who haven't seen a lot of Badgers, it's just been so hit or miss. You know, they'll look really good against a Northwestern who is a terrible defense, but then they'll just fall off a cliff. You know, Graham Mertz has been very inconsistent. If I had to point to something that I feel like is a reason for optimism, the Badgers offensive line is really coming off one of their better games. They're starting to gel a little bit. They were able to push Nebraska around in moments where Nebraska knew what we were doing. And that was always a staple of Wisconsin, right? Like, we're going to run the ball. You know we're going to run it, but we're still going to run it. And the last couple of years, we haven't been able to do that. The teams that have really bowed up and said, you know we're going to run it, we're going to stop you, have been able to stop us. We've started to see that Wisconsin offense line impose some will. So if I had to be confident somewhere, it would be with that line getting better. It is full of younger, a little more inexperienced players. So that's been a bit of a reason for optimism for me. Where are you pessimistic offensively?
Offensively, I'm pessimistic in the passing game just because it doesn't feel like we're setting ourselves up to use it. Like, you can guess when it's going to be a passing game, when it's going to be a pass attempt, when it's going to be a run attempt. You can kind of get a feel for just what the team wants to do. And so if we don't get ahead early in the drives, if we don't get a 3-yard play on first down, a 4-yard play on second down, and it's third and short, then we start to run into quick three and outs and things like that. And I don't think it's because we don't have the talent, because I think Ethan Kaliak-Manis has the arm. I've seen it up close and personal in fall camp where this guy made throws that I was like, how? Like, it looked like a terrible decision. All of a sudden, it's dropped right into a basket. He has the talent to do it, but it looks like the coaches are trying to hold him back or rein him in to not have any attempts at errors, any attempts at turnovers. They're trying to kind of hold back the leash until they can get another full spring camp, another fall camp, and then let him loose in the fall. I want to see it now. I want to see the flashes now and let him get comfortable, because the Gopher schedule next year is a doozy. So I'm pessimistic that if we don't get him live looks in real games now, it's going to be learning all over again at the beginning of next year. Now, for the Badgers, what are your pessimistic pain points? And also, I have to ask, is there any update of your knowledge on Braylon Allen? Is he likely going to play? I know there was some injury at the end of that last game, and Gophers fans are all curious, like, is it going to be him? Or if he's not there, are we running away with this? So what's going on with the Badgers?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So as of now, he's probably going to play. He has a shoulder that's been dinged up for a while. It's really bothered him for a bunch of weeks, and he hurt it again last week. He hurt his knee as well. But he's going to play, but he's not going to be 100%. And quite frankly, he hasn't been 100% for the later half of this year. He wasn't 100% last year in our game as well, and that really showed itself. You know, so he's not going to be 100%. The Badgers have three backs they'll turn to. They have Chez Malusi, who was a Clemson transfer from a couple years ago. He's back and running pretty strong. We got Isaac Garendo. Listen, one of the biggest things that's frustrating me this year is Isaac Garendo is the 6'2", 220-pound guy. He runs a 4.4. He has great hands. Nobody knows about him because the Badger staff gives him like five carries a game. He's a senior. He averages like 6.5 yards per carry. You're going to see Garendo. He's, in my opinion, has been the best Badgers running back the last couple weeks. But Braylon's going to play. They'll give him some touches. He's a little limited, but he can still move the pile at the end of the day.
Right.
Some of the inconsistencies, some of the worries I have are the same ones I mentioned. It's just the inconsistency on offense. You know, this is an offense that they just can't ever seem to get in a consistent rhythm with what they want to do, who they want to be. Graham Mertz has had flashes this year, but he's also had games that have just been, you know, Jim Leonard came out and talked about potentially thinking about benching him last week because he had a terrible first half. So it just speaks to the inconsistency on his offense, and it gives us no real gauge on what unit is going to show up. So
right, that was something I talked about with the keys of the Badgers week in my earlier show this week. Was number one key is not letting Graham Mertz get into a rhythm, because when he has this year, he's clicked, he's looked decent. Like, but when he's not, he usually is the reason or a large part of the reason of why you guys are losing games. So we have to make him uncomfortable on our defensive side of ball.
Yeah, it's incredibly fair. Ping back on offense really quick, and then let's get to defense. Quarterbacks for you, Tanner Morgan is been dinged up. He's been hurt. He's been out games. Is he for sure out for Wisconsin?
I would assume so. I haven't really even seen the question being asked anymore, if I'm being honest, as far as the media is going. I know it was two concussions in a short period, and especially on the collegiate side, they're trying to play safe with that. But then you also have the young up-and-comer in Ethan Kaliak-Manis, who basically is the future. It's been very out there that PJ sees this guy as being the future of the program. So it's like, why not at this point? Why not get him those reps going forward?
That makes sense. All right, let's get into the units that maybe propel our teams the most here. Defensively, what makes you so optimistic about this game?
You know, I think the biggest thing defensively that makes me optimistic is that our secondary is lights out. Like, Our defensive line doesn't create very much pressure, which you've had quite the opposite with Herbig over there leading the entire nation in sacks. Our team finds it very hard to create pressure. There's been moments and weeks where it looks good, but it's just tiny flashes. But our secondary is really good at coverage. They're really good at being in the right spot and creating coverage sacks and creating just time for the D-line to at least get the quarterback uncomfortable. So that secondary is really special, and especially the safety pairings. I think both of them are going to be gone next year. I think Jordan Howden doesn't have eligibility left, so he won't be back. But Tyler Newbin, I think he's going to be playing on Sundays. He's absolutely balling this season. He played really well last season as well, and he's just always in the right place at the right time, has the energy, hard hitting. makes huge stops when we need them. So the secondary is definitely my biggest confidence with this defense.
I think for us, for Wisconsin, it's strength on strength. So Ibrahim is incredible. Like, I see the jersey up behind you on the wall. By the way, Barber back there as well. A couple just total studs. he's incredible. Absolutely incredible. But really, the strength of Wisconsin's defense has been that rush defense as well. They're third, actually fourth nationally in yards per carry allowed at 3.0. So they've really played out, and they have a nose tackle in the middle in Keanu Benton, who's a four-year starter. He's going to play in the NFL next year, and he's really going to be the key to potentially – listen, you're not going to completely shut Mo down, but can they limit the damage and force, you know, the Gophers into some passing situations, third and seven, third and eight? I think that's the key, and I'm honestly fascinated just to watch it because I don't know. I don't know which strong unit is going to win out there. How about pessimism? Why are you pessimistic with the Gophers defense coming into this one?
You know, I think it just comes down to consistency. Now, typically they're really consistent and they play well, but even last game got down 10-0 right away. In the Nebraska game, got down 10-0 right away. In the Illinois game, got down right away. And it's like in the very beginnings of the game, something, it just doesn't click. It looks like they're still waking up. They're still warming up. And those moments can end up being the reason why we lose a game. When we're losing 13-10 in one game, you can't tell me that starting down 10-0 didn't affect that. Mm-hmm. But once they're clicking, they're lights out. They fly to the ball. They swarm to the ball. This defense is extremely fast. So it's just like the simple errors of consistency and missed tackles. If those present themselves, it makes it very difficult for the Gophers in coming out with a victory.
Yeah, that's very well said. Because some of the same issues Wisconsin has on offense with the inconsistency seem to have plagued the Gophers on defense. You know, for Wisconsin, it's occasionally been a one-man band with Benton. And you can't do that against Minnesota with this rushing attack. Like, the defensive ends have occasionally been missing in action. The linebackers, especially the inside ones, struggled a lot earlier in the year. So they're all going to have to bring a hard hat, and they're all going to have to really bow up to stop this rushing attack. It can't just be Keanu Benton. And some weekends it's just been Benton defensively. So I think it would just be, do the inside linebackers show up? They've been playing better of late. Do the strong side defensive ends show up? You got to tackle and you got to bring your hard hat against Mo.
I have to ask, how are you feeling with Herbig being out an entire half? Is that enough to shift a game? How nervous are you with him officially apply? Like, he peeled, right? And then it got denied. So he's officially out for one full half.
Yeah, it's a great question, man. The interesting thing is, I don't know if it matters as much in this game, right? Like, Herbig is an incredible pass rusher. I mean, Minnesota wants to hand the ball off 45 times. You know, so Herbig, there were games early in the year, and still there's games now where you can run at him. Like, he's not the biggest physical edge setter. He's not a TJ Watt type guy who can really set the edge. He's not bad at it. He's stronger than he looks, but he's not a big dude. So I would say against Minnesota, it may not have the biggest impact. Listen, it still hurts, right? There's still going to be third down situations in the first half where Minnesota has to throw. I would say this, that first passing down in the second half, that first time when it's third and seven, third or eight. Blocking him because he's incredible in those situations, and he's going to come out like a frothing animal. So, but it's a great question. It certainly hurts the Badgers. I don't think it hurts as much if they were playing maybe a Purdue or an Ohio State, somebody that really wants to sling it around. Let's get into some game predictions next. Let's take a very quick break, word from our sponsors, and then we're going to get into why we both think our teams are going to win. I'm just assuming that's what we're going to say. That's coming up next on this Locked On Crossover.
All right, and we're back, and we're talking about predictions, but before we jump into the predictions, we got to talk about this little friendly competition we got going on right here. We're doing a Locked On Battle for the Axe, and look, Locked On Badgers fans have been showing out for you, and you have quite a bit more subscribers than I do, so we had even the playing ground a little bit, so we're going the most new subscribers in this week only, wins the Locked On Battle for the Axe. Now, this is bragging rights, folks, so Gophers fans, it's time to step up. Badgers fans, feel free to tune out right now. That's fine. We can tune out. But just feel free to go check out the YouTube channels. Press subscribe. It's as simple as that. And then you're getting this content each and every day of the week, Monday through Friday, from your favorite teams. So it's friendly competition that hopefully we'll win over here in Minnesota, but it's an honor to do it with you trying out this new thing, Ryan.
No, I love it. You did a great job building an amazing graphic for it. I will say this to everyone listening. Do not let me lose to Minnesota at anything ever. Seriously, like ever. Like, don't. So hit the subscribe button. I've been talking about it all week. Do not let me lose to that man over there in that state that we don't care about. show who the better fan base is. Hit subscribe and let's get it going.
All right, should we talk about predictions? Yeah, predictions. Let's do it.
All right. So let's just throw the lines out there. We don't even need to call it yet, but Wisconsin's favored by 3 playing at home basically makes it a pick'em game, which feels right. Over under is 36, which is, yeah, that feels about right too. I'll just kick it to you. Like, what is your game prediction here? And then we can pick against the spread in a minute here, but what happens on Saturday?
You know, I'm feeling pretty confident in this one, not like overly confident where I'm like, oh, we're winning this no matter what. Like, there's definitely opportunities to fumble the bag in this one, but I do feel pretty confident. Look, the Gophers have an extremely sour taste in their mouth from losing to Iowa at home on senior day by 3 points after they basically ran the game from the second quarter to the final minute of the game and then had just two baffling turnovers on two driving moments in the fourth quarter. Look, they're going to be coming out there trying to give their absolute best. Mo put the whole team on his back in that game, running for 263 yards, and he would do it again if he was called upon to ask for it. Like, that's the mentality of it right now. Forget the NFL, forget the bowl games. He wants the axe here. So I am really confident that the Gophers are going to find success in the running game. But I think it comes down to, like you said, in those later opportunities where we're third and long, if we can't complete on those, it's going to be a very tight competition. If we can, I think the Gophers could win by maybe 10, maybe 10-ish, just like a two-score but still close type game. I think it really comes down to who thrives or is able to find some success in that passing game.
Yeah, and I bet you the answer is going to be neither. If I'm just going to be – I really – you know, the Gophers have an incredible third down defense too, which scares me. They're like allowing 26% completions on third down, essentially conversions on third down, sorry, not completions.
Right, right. And
that makes it really tough for a Wisconsin team that still gets pretty predictable. Run, pass, a lot of third and sevens. I anticipate a low-scoring game. The 36 is reflective of that from Vegas. Here's what I would say, though. You talked about sour taste in your mouth, like coming off the Iowa game. You know what team has a sour taste in their mouth? The team that doesn't have the axe, bro. Like, let me just be real here. Games in Madison, they don't have the axe. It matters. And it matters to both teams. It's not like the Gophers don't care about keeping it, obviously. But I feel like there is something to not having it, to seeing the previous team, the previous year, rip it out of your hands and go chop goalposts down and then play jump around in celebration. Like, there's no shortage of...
It was just happenstance. It was just, they just happened to play that song. It wasn't.
Next one up on the shuffle, right?
They right, exactly.
Around. I love it, by the way. By the way, like, there's some people that get salty about that. I love it. It's sport. These are not like Pop Warner kids. Go ahead and have fun. Rub some salt in the wound. I absolutely love it. But the Badgers are salty about it. I also really like, and this isn't something that's easy to qualify, but there's some new coach energy with Jim Leonard. He's 4-2. He hasn't lost at home. Both of his losses have been on the road at Kinnick and overtime against Michigan State. There's some real juice there. I'm going to take the Badgers. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I think it is like a 17-14, 20-14 type game. I think the Badgers pull it out. They are at home, which matters. But it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be under 36 is where I'm taking it. So that tells you all you need to know about where I think the offenses are going to be here.
I'm with you. I think it'll be under as well on that 36 line. And that's hard for two people to both come under such a low line, but I do think it's going to be classic Big Ten.
Oh, I think I lost Kane. No. Oh, you're back. I lost you for a second.
I'm back.
Love it. Okay, we were about wrapping up anyway. So I did want to ask you this really quick. We're wrapping it up, but how much does Mo have in the tank? Is there any, like, concern that Iowa hits hard? That was a ton of carries. He's been given a – so he's been worked so much. How much does he have left here?
Honestly, I don't think he's slowing down. And I'm not saying that just because I'm like, yeah, Mo's going to do – like, I realistically, when I watch this guy run – he looks like it's effortless. And now you got to also think, in the first half of the first three non-conference games where we're not playing anybody, remember, he's only playing a half of those games intentionally and on a pitch count. So that way, knowing when we're getting to these later games that he's going to have to carry the load more, we're trying to keep him fresh earlier because we know what we'll run into later. And Coach Fleck has said that on multiple occasions, but after having sat out an entire season, after having some pitch counts coming into it, and even not playing in that Purdue game, I think it gives him more, a little more left in the tank. But one thing people don't understand that aren't from the area and haven't heard Mo talk is that he sees the game in a different way. He literally used the entire injured season to work with the coaches and understanding how they build game plans and how they script plays and how, which plays will work for what and why and what they're targeting. And then he literally now will get into those game plan meetings and come up with a few plays that he's like, I think this will hit at this time because of this. Like, he just sees it in a coach's way. And you don't hear that a lot from running backs. And I think that helps trigger to why he runs efficiently.
That's a great answer. Anything more? Like any last thoughts on this one, Kane, as we get to about 30 minutes here?
Yep. I think the very last thought I have for you, and you kind of answered it a little bit earlier, but if somehow, some way, the Gophers run away with this thing at Camp Randall, the contract hasn't officially been signed yet, do the Badgers stick with Jim Leonard, or do they maybe look outside if it is that big of a gap?
I think it's set. I really do. I mean, barring some type of like just 59-0 beatdown, which that's not happening, right? But if they win, listen, if they win 33-10 somehow or something crazy like that, I think it's set in stone. I think it's Leonard. They posted the job. And even if he loses to Minnesota, right? He goes 4-3 down the stretch after taking over a wounded animal. He gets him bowl eligible. I think it's there. And honestly, most Badger fans are pretty excited about it. Doesn't mean it'll work out. Like, every hire is a risk, but I think they're pretty excited about it.
Love it. Well, thank you. It's been fun. I know we got to wrap this thing up, but I'm sure we'll be talking again here in January when we got basketball playing our way as well. So good luck this weekend. I hope the Axe stays home in Minnesota, and it'll be a good one regardless.
For sure. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody, by the way, on both channels for sure. And to Kane yourself as well. Hope everyone has an awesome, awesome Thanksgiving holiday.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, folks. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube. This is Kane Robb and Ryan Herrings signing off. See you
later.